chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. If one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, teach us how to internalize this message today. Teach us how to live by the scripture we profess to believe in. Teach us to be forgiving people. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's jump in and see if we even understand what the word forgive means, because there's a lot of ideas out there. There's a lot of different, you know, things that people think about forgiveness. And I always like when I talk about something to start with what it is not. So what is forgiveness not? Forgiveness is not condoning an offense. Anybody ever apologize to you and you're like, it's okay? That's like condoning, and if that's like, that's not forgiveness, right? Somebody says, I'm sorry, I wronged you, and you're like, it's okay. That's not really forgiveness, is it? And often when we say that, what do we really mean? It's not okay, right? It's not condoning. It's not telling someone what they've done is okay or convincing them it wasn't really a big deal. We need to be people who instead offer forgiveness. It also doesn't mean pretending that the offense never took place. It doesn't mean just like forgetting it and pretending like it never happened, not addressing it, not discussing it. It doesn't mean to pretend, all right? It also doesn't mean, and this is one people get stuck on, it doesn't mean letting others take advantage of you, right? It doesn't mean allowing folks to walk over you. It doesn't mean letting someone use you up. So what does the word forgive mean? I've got a couple definitions. I've got a definition of what we would consider like the definition the world would give you for forgiveness. And it's this: to stop feeling angry or resentful towards someone for an offense or a flaw or a mistake. When the world talks about forgiveness, it's like, well, we want you to stop being angry about this. Stop being upset about this. Stop being resentful. But the biblical, or if you will, Jesus definition of forgiveness literally means to let something go. It literally means to let it go. And that's where we struggle, because we don't like to let things go, do we? We like to hold on to them. We clutch at them. We want to keep them close. We want to stew on them. We want to rush in and think about them. We, in fact, sometimes let those things ruin us, don't we? Because we hold on to those hurts so tightly that they change our attitudes and our thoughts and our reactions. Jesus says forgiving someone literally means letting go of what they have done to us. So when we talk about forgiving one another, there's an important question we have to ask, and that is, in what manner do we forgive? In other words, what are some characteristics? What are some critical points? What are some vital Christian forgiveness protocols? Do you like that? It sounds fancy, right? So what are some habits? What are some habits that the Christian must have in learning to forgive others? First, we talk about forgiving in what manner. We ask the question, how do we forgive? And it's this: we forgive as He has forgiven us. What's the manner of our forgiveness? We take our pattern, our model, our character of how to forgive from Christ. We look to Christ, we see, how did Christ forgive? And then we live that out in our own lives. Take a look at Colossians again. I read it a moment ago, Colossians 3, 12 to 14. Particularly verse 13, but I'm going to start in 12. It says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another if anyone has a complaint against one another. And then verse 13 says, forgiving each other in what manner? As the Lord has forgiven you. The quality of your forgiveness should be the same quality as the quality of your forgiveness that you've received from your Father. We forgive others in the way God has forgiven us. He continues, so you must also forgive. Above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. In Ephesians 4:32, Paul talks about forgiveness, and he says, be kind to one another, be tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So you see there's this theme, and this will be repeated as we go through different scripture today, that the quality of our forgiveness as Christians is that we exemplify the quality of God's forgiveness in us. God's grace towards us, God's forgiveness towards us, that's the quality of forgiveness we give to each other. To friends, to neighbors, to enemies, to siblings, right? Is that hard? Anyone? Anyone that sounds hard? Anyone right now, you're thinking, this is difficult. The critical point here is this: forgive others as the Lord has forgiven you. Just let that resonate. Let that sink in today. It's a high bar. Easy to say, hard to live by. Now, in thinking about it, how would you answer? Go ahead and answer this out loud. How would you answer the question, how has God forgiven you? Go ahead and answer it out loud. Unconditionally. Okay, good. What else? How has God forgiven you? Fully. Ooh. Okay, so some of the characteristics of God's forgiveness are unconditional and full. That's the kind of forgiveness we should be offering others. Unconditional and full. Go for it. He forgave us by dying on the cross. Ooh. So we should die for others? I mean, if you boil down the scripture, the gospel of Jesus Christ really is an invitation for the Christian to die to self, right? Isn't that really what forgiveness is about? Good job, Jay. Isn't that what forgiveness is really about? Dying to ourselves, dying to our own wants, desires, perceived wrongs, right? Things that have been done to us that we are not willing to let go. But the Father says, in order to forgive one another as I have forgiven you, you have to employ, you have to emulate, you have to model my forgiveness to one another. Anybody else have one to throw out?
Everlasting love.
Okay, he forgave us with everlasting love. Dick? I thought you raised your hand. He's just rubbing his beard.
Eternally,
thank you. Okay. Anybody else? Repeatedly. Who said that? Woo, repeatedly. Right? Isn't that good that the Father will forgive us when we fail and that His forgiveness is unending and everlasting and eternal? Wow. We're going to get to that at the end of the message. We're going to get on that one in a minute. So that first point, and that first idea that's going to carry us the rest of the way in this, that is, we have to learn to forgive in the way that Christ forgave us. But we also have to forgive as we hope and pray God will forgive us. And we kind of get this idea out of Matthew 6. The disciples approached Jesus one day and they said, Jesus, we teach us how to pray. They had observed Christ praying, and they went to him, and they said, we teach us, and he gave them a model. Sometimes in church we recite that, particularly some faith denominations, some backgrounds maybe that you grew up in. It was something you repeated every Sunday. It's nothing wrong with that, but Christ, when he gave this, gave it more as a pattern than he gave it as a rote prayer to be prayed. And so I'm going to read it real quick, but I want you to think about the pattern here. And then we're going to get to the end of it. But he says this in Matthew 6, 9 through 15. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So he gave a pattern, and he said, when you pray, here's five or six things to think about as you enter into a moment or a time of prayer with the Father. The first thing he says to do is to honor Father. Honor him. Your name be praised. Glory to your name. And then he says to pray about the things that are important to God. The first one is that his kingdom would come and that his will would be done perfectly on earth as it's done in heaven perfectly, and he would have us pray for his will to be done perfectly on earth. Then he says to pray for the things you need. He uses give us this day our daily bread as an example, but he says pray for the things that you need. Scripture says Father knows you need them before you ask, but you should ask for them anyway, because it's an act of submission, and it's an act of trust in the Father to say, Father, here's what I need. Then he says to ask for forgiveness for your debts, for your sin debt, if you will, and to do that in the way that we have forgiven our debtors. And then he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In other words, protect us from what's going on around us, and we might not be absorbed by the world, but instead that we would reflect Christ. And then Jesus adds this little sentence at the end, a very important nuance, where he says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours. Jesus reiterates the idea we had a moment ago that forgiveness and forgiving others is to be done in the manner that God has forgiven us. But he adds this important directive. This is the critical point here, that our forgiveness is tied to our ability or desire or act of forgiving others. It's a very interesting passage. Jesus is seemingly making a connection here that's a sincerity, the realness, if you will, of our forgiveness for our brothers and our sisters is tied to how the Father will forgive us, or whether or not he will forgive us, or that we will find forgiveness in him. It's hard to convey the weightiness of this passage. I hope right now you should be like, this causes me great concern. When I read this passage, I'm like, wow, this is really concerning. You should be like sitting up, leaning forward in your chair, on the edge of your seat, because this is like, oh, this is important. One of the constants in this life is being wronged by others. Wouldn't you say that's true? You're going to be wronged today, it's likely, unless you just go straight home. But even then, you might be wronged by a family member, especially if you have a bigger family, right? There's a lot of opportunities for wronging. But for sure, if not today, tomorrow, this week, this month, this year, and the rest of your life are going to be filled with times where you are wronged. It is part of being human. How will you handle it? How will you handle that moment when you were wronged? Will you forgive? Or will you have a spirit of unforgiveness? I think that this says a lot about us. In fact, I think this passage is more, in fact, I when I look at it and I read it, I think of it as more of a thermometer, if you will, of our spiritual life. It takes the temperature of our spiritual connection with the Father in this way. And if you'll allow me to rephrase it, here's what I think this is saying. As a supposed believer, if you're saying, I'm a believer, I'm a follower in Christ, and you are wronged, and you forgive, you are displaying Christ in you. You are likely a believer. If you are saying you're a believer, that you're a Christ follower, and somebody wrongs you and you are unforgiving, you will not forgive them, you do not forgive them, you won't forgive them, then I think this passage is saying you are likely not a Christ follower, even if you think you are. Because the Spirit of God in us at the moment of transformation, when we are saved, he changes us and he begins a process of perfecting us into the image of Jesus Christ to such a way that when somebody wrongs us, Christ in us gives us that power, that ability, that desire even to forgive even the worst possible thing that could be done to us. And if that happens to us, the worst possible thing, and we are, or even something slight, and we're just unwilling to forgive, I think that says a lot about our relationship, or maybe a lack of relationship with the Father. I think you'll find these statements must be true because you and I will find the will, the strength, and the grace to forgive even the most terrible wrong if we have found forgiveness in Christ. We can forgive because we have been forgiven. Same as love. Scripture teaches that about love, right? We love because Christ first loved us. Scripture says that. And in the same way, it is saying we forgive because Christ first forgave us. If we have found love in the Father, if we have found forgiveness in Christ, if we have been filled with the Holy Spirit and we are wronged, our nature in Christ should be one of forgiveness. If your nature is not one of forgiveness, if it's one of holding grudges, if it's one of being prickly when you're wrong, and some of us are prickly and we get over it real fast, you know. But you don't ever forgive and you just hold on to that grudge, you need to ask yourself and you need to ask the Father, Father, am I yours? Am I sincerely following Christ if I am unwilling to forgive? I think you'll see the answer in Scripture is no. And some of you might be thinking today, oh no, I don't like to forgive. Go to the Father and ask for a real transformation of your spirit. Father, forgive me, for I've sinned. I haven't been yours. I have a spirit of unforgiveness. I don't want to forgive my brother and my sister. Even though Scripture says to, I just don't want to. Ask for him to change you, to fill you, to save you, to place his spirit in you, that you might be a Christ follower who exhibits the one another's, and especially today, the one another of forgive one another. Now the last question, how do we forgive? The last answer to the question, how do we forgive, is this. We forgive as many times as is required. And I told you we'd come back to that, Kevin. Good job. Did you read ahead? Chapter 18, another great passage where the disciples, I love today's passages are all about the disciples approaching Jesus with questions. And this question was about forgiveness. And Peter came up, it's going to be in chapter 18 of Matthew, starting in verse 21. It's a little bit long, but I want to read it all because, you know, I love stories in Scripture and I love the Scripture to be read and I love it to be read with the people of God when we gather. So I'm going to go ahead and read it, chapter 18, 21 through 35. Says Peter came up, probably on behalf of the other guys, but, you know, it's like, hey, Peter, go ask. You ever done that? He's like, hey, go ask mom. You know the question's going to be like the answer you want, so you send a sibling, right? Yeah, so the disciples are like, hey, Peter, go ask. Peter came up and he said, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times. So Peter's like, he's feeling magnanimous. Seven times, Jesus, if my brother or my sister in Christ or my neighbor, my friend, my enemy, they wrong me seven times is surely enough, right? Then I can lower the boom. Then I can stop forgiving. Jesus says this. It says that Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Obviously, he's exaggerating the number because what he really means is don't keep track 77 times, right? No. Infinitely forgiving. But listen to what he says. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who was owed 10,000 talents, and since he could not pay his master, he was ordered to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had that the payment could be made. The servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, it says, the master of the servant released him and forgave him the debt. He let it go, right? He's like, okay, I'm going to forgive the debt. I'm going to let it go. It's gone. Now, that same servant went out. Oh, wicked humans. He found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. So, I mean, it's a pittance. He owed a fortune to this one man, and this other guy owed him pocket change. He seized him, he began to choke him and say, pay what you owe, and his fellow servant fell down in the same way and pleaded with him, have patience with me, I'll pay you. Instead, he refused. He put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When the fellow servants saw what had taken place, it says, they were greatly distressed. They went back to the master and reported all that had taken place. It says the master summoned that first servant and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you and all that debt because you pleaded with me, and should not you have mercy on your fellow servant as I have had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debts. And then that phrase, that point that makes you sit forward in your seat a little bit, so also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from the heart. Ooh, again, that's been in every one of our points, that's been a reiterated statement, hasn't it? That the quality of our forgiveness should be that of the Father, and if we're unwilling to forgive, then the Father is also likewise unwilling to forgive us. But here we're talking in this particular point about limits. And Peter was like, certainly seven times is enough. Have you ever forgiven somebody more than seven times? Is anybody married? Thank God that Lydia has forgiven me more than seven times. And that my children have forgiven me more than seven times. And my parents forgave me more than seven times. And thank God that because of the power of Christ in me, I am able to forgive. And that's what this is about. There's no term limits on forgiveness. You forgive, and you forgive, and you forgive some more. This story carries a lot of weight with it because it's a parable, right? It's a story about, it's a fictional account, but Jesus is tying it to something real. He's saying, the kingdom of heaven will be like this. In other words, he's saying, my Father and the way he operates, his way of dealing with humans who are broken and sinful is this way, and his kingdom will be like this. So it's a picture of what God has done for us. We're the wicked servant that has a debt we cannot pay, because even one sin is too heavy for us to pay. It's too expensive. It's too pricey. And all of us have sinned more than once. We can't be forgiven of our sin in our own power, by our own good, by our own will to do something nice. We can't pay for it. It's too expensive. That was just for one. Now pile on 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 70 years. Any of you older than that? 75 years. 78 years? I'm not asking. 80? Yeah, I don't know. But pile it on, and it becomes more and more and more. And the weight of that sin is like the weight of that debt. The man had so much debt, he could never pay it back. And the master forgave it all. But did you see? It's almost as if there were a condition. I'm not sure it was a condition as much as it was that there was an expected transformation in this man's life when he received great, tremendous grace and forgiveness, that he was supposed to show that to everybody around him. I guarantee you, Lydia and I have never done anything as badly to one another as we've done to the Father. No one's ever done anything bad enough to you that it outweighs what you have done in sin to the Father. That debt is something we can't pay. And nothing out there is worse than that. And if the Father can send his Son, Jesus Christ, to live and walk on this earth and to be disgraced and humiliated and murdered on our behalf to carry our sin to the cross, that we might have a hope of finding Christ and forgiveness and restored relationship with the Father, then how can we not? That's the whole point of this. How can we not forgive our brother or our sister? It's a rhetorical question. We must. Because of what the Father's done for us. And the weight of that is immense compared to the weight of a single wrong done against you or done against me. And the Father says, forgive as I have forgiven you. Forgive your brother, your sister, your sibling, your parent, your child, your neighbor, your friend, your enemy from the heart. And I will forgive you. Let that settle on you today. And if there are relationships, if there are unforgiven points in your life that you need to address, address those. Even if you don't feel like it, even if you don't want to, say, Father God, I know I'm supposed to want to do this. Do you ever want to do something that's wrong? Absolutely. I'm sure we all do. You just go to the Father and say, you know what? I know I'm yours. I know you saved me, but I'm finding it a little difficult to forgive this guy today. Can you give me the power? Can you give me the strength, the boldness, the grace to extend forgiveness to another person who's just like me, who sins who wrongs, but who has found a relationship in Christ that has transformed the way I live and the way I relate to one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Fathers, we wrangle with that today. There might be some here who are not there yet. And you are very close to us. And you are waiting for us. You are calling us. You are hand out to us. Come. You're just waiting for us to accept you as Lord and Savior. You sent your Son on our behalf to carry the weight of our sin to the cross, to bear our guilt and our shame. But he didn't stay dead, Lord. He rose again. And because of the act of carrying our sin and overcoming sin and death, you've given us an opportunity to have what was broken in the beginning right again, even today, by simply receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And I said simply, but it's nothing if it's not more than just a simple thing. Oh, Lord, you want us to think about it. You want us to weigh it. You want us to balance it. You want us to pray about it. Because following you means not following myself. And so we weigh that carefully. You don't force yourself upon us. You don't choose some and not another. But Lord, you have died and your Son has rose again that we might all have an opportunity to know you as Lord and Savior. But Lord, you don't force it. And so today, if you're in that, if that's you, you're close, but you're not there and you're wrangling with this forgiveness issue, first you need to find forgiveness. Simply ask the Father, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my history, of my background, of my disobedience, of doing my own thing, my own way. Lord, make me yours. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Forgive me in the name of Jesus Christ. I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. Scripture says if you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. The process of transformation begins. Lord, you fill us with your Spirit and you begin to change us. You soften our heart. You make us forgiving. You teach us how to love one another. You teach us how to bear up each other's burdens. You teach us not to lie, not to gossip, to live in harmony and unity. All the things that we've been talking about over the last weeks, Lord, you teach us how to do that. You mold us and shape us to become new people. And so, Lord, if there are those today that are not there yet, Lord, they're close. Reach out to the Father today and ask him in the name of Christ to save you. If you're a believer and you're listening to this today, you're grappling with this, you're reading Scripture, you're studying and you're thinking, and the Lord has identified in you places where you're prickly and you're unforgiving, allow the Spirit of God, invite the Father. Father, fix this. Father, enter this place that I've been holding back from you. Change my heart. Change me for your purposes, for your glory, for the kingdom of God, for your will. Lord God, you knew when you sent your Son what the power of forgiveness looked like. And you know what the power of unforgiveness looks like also. Lord, I pray that we would not be unforgiving, sour, prickly people, but we would be people filled with joy and filled with love and filled with forgiveness for your will, for your glory, and for your kingdom. And we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.